This is Jody Stone on the 6th of May, 1992, interviewing Yvette Breadbenner. Is that your whole name, Yvette?
Yvette Helene Mojon Breadbenner.
How do you spell Mojon?
M-O-J-O-N. That was my maiden name.
Okay. And were you born here?
No, I was born in Boston.
Why'd you come here? How did you get here?
Oh, well, my parents, my father... My father came to this country from Switzerland. They were French Swiss. And my father came in 1910, and when he was 12. My mother came right after the war, First World War, in 1918. And they finally, because she had a sister in Torrington, and the Mojons came to Torrington, and they finally met and were married. And my father, of course, all the Swiss in Torrington worked in factories. That they came over because they were quite good at technical things. Major Best was the Swiss person in Torrington, and he had a lot of Swiss come over. But my father didn't like to work in factories. He hated it. In fact, my father was an artistic person. He was an artist. And, of course, in those days, he couldn't go to school or anything for art work. You know, that just wasn't heard of by his father and mother. So my mother and he decided to go and work for people. And they worked in Pennsylvania, in Stroudsburg. Then they had to leave there because he was postmaster, couldn't keep them. And we came to Torrington for a year, and my father hated it. So they knew the governess of the Joseph Swans. She was Swiss. And she contacted my parents and said the Swans are looking for someone to come and be in their home. So my father and we came up and they were interviewed. This was in 1928. And I was I had been in the first grade in Torrington. I was about 5 years old. And because I was born in 1922. And so that's how they got the job.
Doing what?
Well, he was the manager, butler of the household and the caretaker at Stillwater's Farm.
Herndon's Farm.
Yeah, just now Herndon's, yeah. And Mr. Swan had evidently bought that farm some years before. He was very wealthy. They were very wealthy. And at first I didn't come because I had the measles in Torrington. So Mrs. Swan said to my parents, oh no, because they had three daughters. And the youngest daughter was just 6 years older than me. So I was about 5 1/2 or 6 and she was 12. And so I had to stay in Torrington for 2 weeks. Then I finally got up here. This was in June. And at that time, Stillwater's Farm, see, my father was, of course, then they had a big household, the Swans, in 1929. And my father was the butler and the caretaker of the house. And they had people running the farm. In fact, the Rands rented the farmland, William Rand, right? Bill Rand, William Rand, up on, well, we called it Hamlet Hill then, which is now Prospect. And the farm at that time, the main house, of course, was over 200 years old. This, I guess, used to be the White Farm, from what people, I really haven't read up too much about it. I should. I meant to do it several times. But it was the White Farm, and the Swans bought it and added on to it. And the farm was a gladiola farm. And Mr. Tracy was the gardener and took care of the gladiolas. And it was, I could still see the gladiolas, the fields of gladiolas, because it was this, you know, in early summer when we got there. My father found out after a few months that Mr. Tracy was cheating Mr. Swan. He was evidently selling, you know, gladiolas, naturally, the bulbs, and keeping some of the money. My father found this out, I guess it wasn't too long after we were there, within the year. And, of course, my father told Mr. Swan, and Mr. Tracy left, had to leave. And then... the Swans had three daughters. Lolo was the youngest, and Emmy was the middle, and Natalie was the oldest daughter. And I went then to Amesville School.
Where was
in
that?
Amesville, which is on right across from the falls, which is Miss Joanna Beale's house now.
Is it the one that has the huge
window? Yes, yes. Well, we didn't have a large window. believe me. And there are quite a few of us left here now. A few, John Bates, who lives in Amesville, was one. He's older than I was. And the Peterson girls, it was Ruth Peterson and Doris, who is the librarian in Falls Village. What's her name? Bon Haven or something. And the Lockwoods had the farm from Stillwater down to Amesville. You passed a farm, which is, I think, where the Wolfs live now. And that was the Lockwood farm. And many times, my father always had to take me because we didn't have buses in those days. And of course, all 8 grades were in one room. Usually the teacher didn't have 8 grades all at once, from what I can remember. I was at the house the other day at Mrs. Joanna Beale's house, and I could tell the people just where I sat. I remember just where I sat. And we had 3 different teachers, from what Lou Birdie and I can remember. We had Miss Noble, and Miss Dower, and then Miss Marcy, who was there quite a while, even after I left. One of the teachers, I think it was Miss Dower, lived over in what is now Fair Acres. And at that time, it was a pig farm. And you'd go by, you could smell. Everybody called it the pig farm. But I remember towards the last day of school, I came here and I was in the 2nd grade, because I did the 1st grade in Torrington, in South School in Torrington. And I can remember that she took the whole class, there weren't many of us, maybe there were 8, 9, or 10 of us, for a picnic over at her house. And we went upstairs, and I often wonder what happened. She had all these beautiful old dresses from the 1800s. And I remember we tried them on, and they were beautiful. And these were all in her family. Evidently, this was had been their farm for a long time. And I haven't checked into that either. But I remember that very clearly, and all those, and I don't think she was there she was only there that year that I was there, and then she moved on. I think then we had Miss Marcy, who was not very pleasant. This is another thing that I remember, that one day my father came and picked me up at 3:15 or whatever time it was, and not long before that, I had done something. And Miss Marcy was a very nervous person, and she was really not meant to be a teacher. But she had no patience, and she grabbed me, and evidently grabbed me on the throat, by the throat, how she grabbed me or shook me or something. So when I got out to the car, the marks were still on my throat, and my father said, "What happened?" And I told him, because my father got very angry and went in, and I guess he told her off. But that was one thing that I remember. And also at Amesville School, we had, because we were all in one room, and the boys used to go in, there were 2 doors in the front where the big window is now, but on either side there were doors. And the boys would line up and go in on one door, and the girls would line up and go in on the other. And of course, we'd be there all day. We'd have our lunch. Some of them all walked home, but there were only not very many of us that stayed for lunch, because most everyone lived in Amesville and just in that area. So they all went home for lunch, but we stayed, and we'd have a good time. I guess we'd go down by the brook quite a bit. There's a lovely brook there, and I think, but the teacher had to watch us. And there was just one big room, and of course, while the teacher was working with 1 grade or 1 or 2 students, we'd probably sit and read or do math, arithmetic, and probably we'd always listen, because it was awfully hard to concentrate. And in the back, there were 2 rooms from the school. Of course, our bathroom was outside. We didn't have an inside bathroom. And there was a big room where the boys had crafts, or what else do you call it?
Woodworking,
right. And I guess they did that. And I remember some. And we went through that room and then go to the back, which was the girls' room, where we had sewing for half of the year and cooking for the other half. Mr. Hemley, of course, was already there. Mr. Hemley was there. And he came and took care of the boys and played the games and did games and those kind of things with us. And then Miss Frink was the sewing half of the year, and then cooking the second half. And I was terrible at sewing. In fact, I can remember where she used to get angry with me. She had no patience, Miss Frink. I just couldn't do sewing. I was not good at that. But when it came to cooking, then, you see, my mother was a great cook, and of course I loved to cook. And I remember that towards the end of the year, I made this wonderful strawberry shortcake. And she thought, oh, that was just great. We made it right there, I remember. And also, I've tried to ask several people, and no, people don't remember. Maybe I haven't asked the right people. But we used to have every year, whether it was, I guess it was the beginning in the fall when we came back, there was like a field day up here in Lakeville at the building that is now the Masonic building there. And I don't know what that was in those days, in the early, this was probably 29 or 30. And it was like a 4-H or agricultural thing. And everybody, we all had to do projects. And I remember there were a lot of people, and they came from all around, students, and everyone did projects on, well, I guess it was like a 4-H fair, I guess.
Just for kids?
Yeah, and from all different schools around. Evidently, other schools came. And I can remember the one, because I had to do a long talk and explain, and I can't remember now what it was I was demonstrating. But I know it was, I had practiced for weeks ahead of time at home and doing it in front of Miss Frank and make sure I had it all right. And it was a big day. And I can't remember if it was the end of the year or the beginning of fall after everybody had grown things in the summer. You know, it was vegetables and all kinds of exhibits. And I can't find anyone that remembers this.
You don't suppose this was sponsored by the Salisbury Association, because they used to have big fairs.
Well, of course, this is way back in 29
or 30.
Well,
they were founded in 1904.
Oh, they were?
Yeah. Or thereabouts.
That may be. I'll have to ask, because I've often wondered, and I've asked several people my age that went to different schools, and they said, well, we don't remember that. Well, I said, you must have been, because it was all the different schools. It wasn't just our school, because I can remember standing there on the grass and the big hedge in back of me and a big table in front of me, and what I was talking about. It was I had a long thing to do, and what I was demonstrating, because I don't have anything about it or anything, so I can't remember. And I know that there were a lot of people. It must have been from all the various schools, Salisbury, Lakeville, Ore Hill, and maybe other towns. Anyway, well, so that was a day that, I mean, and I imagine we had maybe two or three others that I can remember. Also, Mr. Hemerly used to come, and some of the people don't remember this, but he used to come once every 2 weeks or 3 weeks to our school in the evening and have something for the parents. And I can remember, I still have it, my mother making, learning to weave baskets. And I still have it, what she learned, how to it was a tray, and then she weaved around it. And that he used to have that, and he used to have all kinds of things for the, adults. And my father, of course, as I said, was an artist. Unfortunately, he never had the training, and I have his paintings. He did a lot of oil paintings. I said that the Rands, and of course, Mrs. Rand is a famous artist in this area.
Ellen Emmett?
Yeah, Rand. And of course, they were great friends of the Swans. And life on the estate. All right, life on. Oh, going down to school, going back to school. Of course, my father always had to bring me, because we didn't have any buses in those days. And many times he'd take me down as far as the Lockwoods. That would be halfway, and we'd walk. It was Dawn Lockwood and her brother Arthur. Arthur was a little younger, and Dawn was my age. And we'd walk down from school from their house, because that wasn't very far, less than a mile. And one day we met a rattlesnake. And I can still see that rattlesnake curled in the dirt road. And Arthur was said, he told, he said, it's a rattlesnake. And then we heard the rattle, so off we ran. We didn't stay long there. And then sometimes in the spring, particularly, you couldn't drive with the car on our dirt road, because in those days they didn't put gravel down. It was just a mud road in the spring, and I real mud. The mud would be up as far as the top of the wheels on the car if you got stuck. So the Swans had a horse and a buggy, and the horse wasn't very. They didn't use him for very much. Sometimes they rode him, the girls did, but he didn't like to be attached to the buggy. And my father, who of course had grown up on a farm in Switzerland, well, just 12 years, he was 12 when he came here, he knew something about animals, so he'd have to hitch up the horse and take me down to school in the buggy. And also in the of course, the Swans had when they came in, and they came on weekends during most of the year. Sometimes not all winter. Then in the summer, they brought all their household from New York, and then I still have many pictures of it. They had a chauffeur, and they had another butler, and they had parlor maids, and they had. Upstairs maids, and Mrs. Swan, of course, had her own maid, Mary Soden. They were all Irish. They were all Irish. And we were the only Swiss. I guess we were the only Swiss in all of Salisbury and Lakeville, I'm pretty sure, because when I went to high school, I still was the only one with a foreign background, because most everybody in the schools and up in Amesville, they'd all lived here, you know, for a long time, with families. And when I went to Salisbury High School, it was the same way. I was the only one that was foreign-born. And so I guess sometimes, not foreign-born, but foreign parents. And I guess sometimes I resented that, unfortunately, until I go, and my mother and I went to Switzerland for 4 months when I was a sophomore. Yeah, sophomore. And then when I understood that I knew more French than the French teacher, then I was a little more proud of it, that I could... Miss Crofton was our teacher, and she taught me quite a bit in the grammar, but anyway, that's in high school. So I was rather ashamed of that, which I guess I shouldn't have been. I'm not now, by any means. Also on the farm, the Rands ran the farm, and their sons used to come down when it was hay time, and they had three sons, like the Swans had three daughters. And we always thought that they'd marry, but they never did. They all went their own ways. And they were all about the same ages. I remember when they used to come down, and of course I was always down the barns. I was always, because I was the only one. I had no brothers or sisters. And I was the, and I'd be with the farmers. My mother wasn't too crazy about my running. Rands had, I guess it was two families that ran the farm. They had them living in the two houses there, and they were really very poor, poor people, and my mother wasn't too crazy about being with them. I won't say their names, because I think some of them are around, but I don't know what happened to all of them. I often wonder.
What happened to the Swans?
Oh, well, the Swans, you don't know
Don't know about the fire.
Oh, you don't know about the fire at the big house. Well, that happened quite a few, that happened in 47, 48. I used to ride on the large horses I can still see myself riding on those huge, you know, on those huge horses, those farm horses that they had. And then I'd go down and get the milk every day. I was carrying the milk pail, and we always had the milk from the farm. And in the winter, they'd make ice, you know, in the big pond in the back. They'd make ice, and we thought there would be a big ice house, and that was my mother in the summer, or the cook, whoever was there, would, and one of the men, the Coons, you worked on the place. Charlie Coons and his son, Mr. Coons, worked on that place for years until he retired. And his son, young Charlie, worked there with him, and they'd bring in the ice. I can still see them, and I can still see the refrigerator, and my mother creaming the the cream off of the milk. Oh. And every Sunday it was ice cream and roast beef for the Swans when they were there. So I still see my father cranking the ice cream, and then in the morning you have to take the maids to church. They all went to Catholic church. You have to take them all. Sometimes, of course, I couldn't. Later in high school, I went to the Congregational church, but at that time, my mother couldn't go to church because she was busy, and so was my father. And so sometimes the maids would take me to church with them. So I'd go to Catholic church and sit there and wonder what was going on, you know. And I was sort of the baby of the household, you see, because I was small, and with the maids and the Swans' daughters would play with me. And the Swans had many friends. Many famous people came there. And I wanted to ask you the name before we started. One of the most famous was Alma Gluck, the famous opera. And what was her husband's name? The musician, and then their son is a famous actor, and now his daughter is an actor.
I have no idea.
I can't remember the name. It's on my tongue. It's not Zabriskie. It's something like that. You know, he's in movies, their son. Well, anyway, Alma Gluck and her husband came, and then there was a famous, another opera singer who was evidently friends with one of the daughters. Wasn't Martini, but it was something like that, a famous Italian. let me see, who else? The Henry DuPonts from Winterthur were the friends of the Swans. In fact, my father and mother went down several times to Winterthur to bring plants. And to bring plants from there up to the Swans. Judge Hand, famous judge from New York, which I have a letter of his that he wrote to my father. He thought a great deal of my father. See, my father, you know, managed the household and was also the butler, but he did all the shopping because then the cooks didn't go do the shopping. He came to town and did the shopping, the grocery shopping and all the other things, and ran the household. And then we also had, the Swan girls, of course, they got rid of, as they got older, they didn't have a governess anymore. She left, and then they had a French maid that took care of Albertine. I remember her. And on the place was a German, a young German man named Adolf. This was before the Second World War. And when Hitler came into power, this Adolf was very attached to Germany yet. He had come to Germany, been only here a few years. He worked on the place outside in the gardens. And was very attached to his country, and when Hitler came into power, he wanted to go back, because he evidently, from what I can remember and what my father told me, that he was, he admired Hitler. And evidently he went back to Germany. And in fact, he and Albertine were sort of going together, I guess you might say, but she was French and he was German. And I often wonder what happened to him, because he was I have a picture of him, a tall, good-looking young man, so I'm pretty sure he was in the armed service. I don't remember his last name. And sometimes gypsies would come. We'd have gypsies, a whole group of gypsies, and this is what reminded me of Adolf. And Adolf came one day and said, oh, the gypsies, they were camping down near where I live now, out in the fields, and they'd come, and they, I guess they got permission to camp there. They were in cars, and I guess a couple of wagons, so my mother wanted to go, and they were so worried about me, I couldn't even go out of the house, you know, in those days in the early 30s. They thought gypsies were not too nice people, but I'm sure they were all right. So I remember my mother wanted to go because, and some of the Irish maids, because they get their fortunes told. So I remember Adolf had to go with him because he was big. I remember my father saying, well, you can't go unless Adolf goes with you for protection. So they went and had their, I remember my mother coming back, and I forget exactly what they said, but then we'd have all kinds of gentlemen that would stop by. I guess we'd call them beggars. In those days, you'd have a lot of beggars, and my father was always very generous. And they'd come to the back door by the kitchen, and I guess they would probably tell each other, well, that's a good place to go to the big house, you know, in on the dirt road, the Swan Place. And my father'd always give them a meal and a dollar before they left. This was, but this was quite a thing in those days. They'd come by on the trains, I guess, they'd travel around on the freight trains. And there would be one at the back door, way out in the country. We had, of course, Mr. Swan was perhaps one of the very important financiers on Wall Street. He was compared to J.P. Morgan and other great men on Wall Street. He was with the Guaranty Trust, and then he was. I have read about Smith Barney, and I always thought from my father that he was one of the founders of Smith Barney, but he was with Smith Barney for a lot. He was the head of Smith Barney when he retired. But I assume that he was one of the founders of Smith Barney. He was also president of the Bronx Botanical Garden in New York. The Swans, when we first went there, they had a townhouse in New York. Then, as the daughters got older, they, and I guess after the youngest one got married, that they went into an apartment in the River House, which is the approach is still there now. Because I remember, because my parents would have to go almost every week during the winter with the station wagon loaded down with plants, because they had a huge, and Mr. Walker was the gardener. Then they had the, because in those days, in the 30s and the 40s, every place had a gardener around here. And the Scotch gardeners were the thing, because Mr. Whitridge had the mills, and they were great friends of our gardener, Mr. Walker and Mrs. Walker. And they had older children. They were all gone. But they had a younger daughter who went through high school here, Roberta Walker. She was older than me. She was about 4 or 5 years older than I was. But I was always with her because I had no friends. There were no friends close by. And so Mr. Walker was, the gardens where people would come from all over to come to the gardens at Stillwater. And Mr. Swan had a rock garden, unfortunately, it's all gone now, where the brook comes down across the road from the main house. And that was a beautiful garden. I know he used to have people come from the botanical garden to look at his. And the gardens across the road from the main house was just beautiful. Beautiful gardens, beautiful. Of course, Mr. Walker and the Coons worked, and Mr. Walker was a professional gardener. And Mr. Mills, when he was at the Whitridge place, was also a professional, because his daughter was my best friend, Dot Mills. So you see how far we had friends. We didn't have anybody close by. And Mrs. Swan was very important. She was very important in education in New York. She was a Henderson, which she grew up in Southampton. They were wealthy people that were very, not like today. They were very good to their people, because they were good to my, like my father was like a son, and I was like a granddaughter. And my mother, and in fact, they treated them well all the time. And Mrs. Swan was very interested in education. In fact, she was because of her that I went on to college and so forth. And she was on the New York State Board of Education. She was a trustee of Teachers College at Columbia. And she was the founder of Bennington College. And she spoke French. She always spoke French with my mother, with me. Mr. Swan didn't speak too much French. He knew it, but he didn't. Mr. Swan was a big man, and he just didn't go for that. But Mrs. Swan always spoke French to my parents, always. Also, in the winters, when the Swans would come up for the weekends, of course, even the summer, but then the summer they was usually here all summer. Although in the beginning they had a house in Bar Harbor, Maine, so they'd go up there for a month maybe 2 months, maybe part of July and August, and the beginning. they finally sold that. Oh, I remember one summer they went on a camping trip out west with this all with the three of their daughters. I could never imagine Mrs. Swan because she was so so dignified and everything. I could never see her on a camping trip out west, but they did go. And let me see. Oh, going on the train. Of course, when my father would go on the train, you picked them up. You know, this was the big thing on Friday night when the train would come with a parlor car and everything from New York. They sometimes, they didn't always have their dinner, but they had their cocktails on the train, and the porter all dressed in white, and all the chauffeurs would be there, from the Scovilles, from the I don't remember all the names, but the Warners were here. But all the chauffeurs would be there, you know.
And this is Canaan?
No, this is in Millerton.
Millerton,
yeah. Oh, no, not Canaan. Mm. Oh, goodness, no. No, no. It was Millerton, because there they had the parlor car, the dining car, everything coming up for just 2 hours. And sometimes in the winter, like we had some terrific snowstorms, oh, my father couldn't go. They'd call and say, you know, what train they were taking, and my father couldn't go and pick them up, because in those days they didn't keep the roads the way they do now. In fact, I guess on our dirt road it was the farmer that had to do it with a horse and wagon to plow it. I'm pretty sure that's the way it was. Because they had a big, the farmers had a big sleigh, and so they'd go up the old, it's Cat Hollow. We call it Pete Shaw, because Mr. Shaw lived there. Mr. Pete Shaw. I have to talk about Mr. Shaw too. But so my father would go up with the farmer and this big old wagon with the big horses and go up to the top of the hill there to meet them with the taxi. The taxi would come bring them from Millerton, and there they'd put all the luggage on the sleigh and come down that hill for the weekend. Now, also on New Year's, they always were there for New Year's, rarely for Christmas, because then we'd be with our families in Torrington for Christmas. But Mr. Swan always was well known for giving a New Year's Eve party.
Okay.
Mr. Swan was well known for giving a New Year's Eve party. This was the big thing. And he always made the eggnog. My father couldn't make it. He had to, because my father always made all the beverages, and, you know, he was well known for the cocktails and so forth. And Mr. Swan would make it, perhaps if they came a few days before New Year's, and he'd make it, get it started. And I can remember they'd come from all over, all the wealthy people, the Scovilles, the Whitridges, the Warners, of course, Judge Warner. Ooh, who else was there? Oh, there were many of them. I can't remember all their names. Lewis's. I guess the Blagdens were here already. Lewis's were here. All from all over. And I can remember sitting, because we had part of the house was ours, like our sort of an apartment. But in the summers, when all the maids were here, well, then there was just one kitchen and one dining room and one living room. But in the winter, when we were alone, then that was all ours. And we had our bedrooms upstairs. The maids were in another section. And I can still see all the chauffeurs, of course, all brought the people. In those days, they didn't drive. And they were all sitting in our living room, and here I am, a little girl, perhaps 8, 9 years old, with all the chauffeurs, you know. And I could still see my father would bring in some eggnog for them, and they'd have some food and so forth. But this was the big party, so I'd stay up a little while, and then I guess I had to go to bed. But this was the big event every New Year's Eve. And let me see. Important visitors at the Swans. Yeah. Well, and my father and mother would go down once a week to New York and bring plants, and the plants that had been there for a week or two, they'd all bring back, because the Swans had a huge, it was a huge greenhouse. It's only part of the greenhouse now. But the greenhouse, what is down at the high school, that was the Swans' greenhouse. When the Myers, when they bought the place from the Dentures bought the place after the Swans, and then the Myers, the Dentures still kept the greenhouse, but the Myers didn't want all that, she just wanted a little bit. So she sold most of that greenhouse. They sold it to the high school, bought it. So what is down at the high school was at, and there they had orchids, they had everything. Every flower you can imagine, I can still see them, and my father bringing them down. Sometimes I'd go with them to New York every once in a while, or I'd have to stay, if I didn't, and then I'd, after school I went to the Walkers, I'd stay down there. In fact, Mrs. Walker was very Scotch and very lady. She was real lady and always had to have her afternoon tea. So in the summer, I thought it was just wonderful. Every afternoon, I'd walk down to the Walkers about 2:30 or 3, and she'd have her tea around 3:30, I think. And we'd sit outside with the daughter, Roberta, or somebody else was visiting, and we'd have tea or we'd talk. This was part of my summer. Also, in the summer, people don't believe it, but I used to swim in the Housatonic River, and we used to have, yes, it was a lovely beach on Stillwater Farm. It's still there, but no one swims there now. And we used to go canoeing. When I think that I used to go canoeing on that river by myself sometimes in the canoe, yes. And we had canoes. Swans had two or three canoes, and we used to go. And I remember this when the Swans had a chauffeur. They had a chauffeur in New York, but by 1931, I think I remember Mr. Klein was his name, and he had a son. And there are pictures of me and the son on the canoe. He was real good looking. I thought he was really something. I often wonder what happened to some of these people. My mother kept up with some, but over the years she lost track also. And also, another important thing about my father was he was well-liked by everyone. Everyone knew James, my father. James and my mother was Rose. My father did paint. In fact, Mrs. Swan gave him a lot of the materials to start his painting because she encouraged him. And Mrs. Rand knew that he was, that he did this. And of course, my father would bring the girls up to the Rands. Used to have a riding school up at their place, and Miss Minor was the teacher. And of course, I'd always go when the girls. I didn't go if Mr. and Mrs. Swan was in the car, but if the daughters were in the car, I'd always be with my father. I'd always be in the front seat. So we'd go up, and he'd take the girls up for their riding lessons and so forth. And one day, Mrs. Rand was working on a portrait for, this was in the 30s, of Roosevelt, the famous portrait of Roosevelt. And so she came out one day. I wasn't there that day, but my father came home and told us. And she said to my father, James, come in, I want you to see something. And my father was probably the first person that saw the painting of Roosevelt. She undraped it, and there was the painting. And she said, I want to know what you think of it. And of course, he told her it was really wonderful. What could you say? I mean, her painting. But this is the one that's over at the at the house. Of course, she made, I think, two or three of that same paintings. I guess one is at the White House or in the Capitol. But anyway, my father was probably the first one. I think she told him that he was the first one to see this, so it was really something. So in 1932, the Swans felt they lost a lot of money. He lost a lot of money during the depression on Wall Street, and that he couldn't keep so many people on the place. So he asked my father if, in those days, you could do this. Now, I guess you wouldn't think of it. If he could go and work. If Mr. Swan got him a job in another place for two or three years, and then when he could have him back, would he come back? Of course, my father and mother wanted to because they liked it, and they liked the Swans. So that was the arrangement, that they would find a place for him. So guess where my father went, where he found the first place. This was in 1932. in at the Harris, the Reese Harris's father and mother. And of course, wait, that's right, the Harrises would come to the Swans also. That's right, the Harrises were already here, the father. And so my father and mother, but Mrs. Harris didn't want a little girl. See, I was 9 years old at this time. They didn't want a child in the house. So my parents didn't know what to do, so I went to stay with my mother's sister in Torrington for 2 months. And went to school there. In fact, I went to school in the school that my father had gone to when he first came to this country in 1910, and which is now the Board of Education building. If you go by the Board of Education building on Midgeon Avenue, that's where my father went to school, and that's where I went for 2 months in the sixth grade, because then I had to leave, and I was in sixth grade, and because I was about 9 or 10, you know. And so after about 2 months, and they have a day off, they'd come down and visit me, and of course we had never been separated. So my parents told the Harrises that no, that that would not work out, that they just... So then Mr. Swan got them the position in Southampton for the George Clark, who was very wealthy people also, and we were there for 3 years. And then Mr. Swan felt, because he had the gardener as the sort of looking over the place. And so then Mr. Swan wanted us back, and so that we came back in 1935 when I was a freshman in high school.